This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Walking Dead Season 11, Episode 11, Rogue Element, is over. We're just getting started here on post-show recaps. Yes, it is me, Jessica Lease, and I promise you, it's really me. It's not somebody pretending to be me, and I'm not going to take off in the middle of the podcast and break your hearts. In fact, I brought ice cream for everybody, and first off, I got some mint chocolate chip for you, Chappelle. How you doing?
Hello, it's me, Jessica Lease, and I promise I'm not. I'm great, Jess. I'm great. I'm happy. I enjoyed the episode, and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
I'm excited to talk about it with you as well. And all over here on my other side, I've got a scoop of rum raisin for this gentleman, AJ Mass.
Hi, it's good to be here. I've just been off fishing with my friend over here, and oh, he's coming over here. He wants to say something to me. What? Get those cuffs out of here!
AJ's been arrested, and not with us this week. He took off in the middle of the night and didn't even leave a note. It was Josh Wigler, and he is still recovering from eye surgery, and we're hoping that he's doing great and he'll be back with us next week. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of opinions about this episode, which I had the hardest time right after I finished watching this episode. My screener for next week dropped and I was just like, no, I have to find out what happens next. And I can't because I need to come in here fresh and talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I promise I don't know what's going to happen next. I have guesses, but I was so upset.
It's a musical in outer space, isn't it?
It is.
No.
it seems like the way this show is going week to week.
Yeah, I mean, we went into such an interesting pivot into procedural drama, and now we're doing like Neve and Max are going to show up and like bust fake Stephanie. And if next week we're just doing the outer space musical from Sing 2, I'm not going to be at all surprised.
I don't need it.
What is this show? What is this show anymore?
I don't know.
It was like a cross between, it was like young Sheldon and it grows up and becomes middle-aged Sheldon. And then it's Sheldon in Paris, but it's all in his mind. So it's kind of like Severance, but it was also like the after party because we're getting different angles. Then suddenly we had beat reporters on the prowl. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I wonder we've been sitting here talking about fake Stephanie versus real Stephanie for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. Two entire years.
Wow.
I wonder how differently this episode plays if you don't suspect there's a fake Stephanie.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. This entire episode, I really wanted to feel bad for Eugene, but it was hard because I knew the entire time, like, well, you're looking for a person that doesn't exist, essentially, or like, or that this is not the person you think it is. So I was like, in a way, I was kind of like, Eugene, just chill. Just stop it. Protect your peace. But so, yeah, I think it would have hit a little bit harder had I not already known the big twist at the end. It's like, we all see the writing on the wall except Eugene. And that made it really kind of hard to watch, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like if I hadn't known that was where it was going, it's almost like I'm like trying to yell at him through the TV, like, you moron. It's fake. It's obviously fake Stephanie. You're supposed to be the smartest guy on the show, and you are yet also the dumbest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you know, he was in a disturbed, paranoid state. He got out the It's Always Sunny yarn and created his little boards up there and everything. For me, though, what really I found disturbing about this episode, I've already bought in at this point. I decided last week I'm just going to lean into it, and the fact that this is no longer a zombie show, this is just they're throwing everything at the wall. It's like, okay, we're going to have a why would you buy the ice cream before she shows up? But even that, like the sad sack of it all, and like womp womp womp, it's all in his brain, and he was just seeing happiness, but it's just sad and all that. Forget all that. I am honestly confused about how long this episode took, because Carol goes off on her little adventure. Eugene sets up his yarn. There are posters all over town, but he has watched this guy so long. He knows his entire Tuesday regular routine from week after week after week. We know we only got a 6-month window before all the shit hits the fan. Six months. We saw that at the beginning. We spent 1 month before we saw last week's episode. This had to have been, 2 months? But yeah, Carol's still on her trip and she's just getting back. Like, I don't understand the timeline of any of this.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I didn't even notice until you said that. Now I'm like, interesting.
I mean, Eugene can be very quick on the uptake in some respects. Like, maybe he just had to see the guy on two consecutive Tuesdays. Maybe it's only been 2 weeks. Maybe it's super accelerated. Maybe, but
then this would still be the third Tuesday.
Yeah, I think, and I don't hate this, honestly, because this is the same show that took 4 years to tell a story over a month. So I don't hate this pace at all. If we're going to go like a month per episode and then we get to like the sixth episode is the sixth month and then we're up to the exciting stuff, I'm not mad at that in the slightest.
I'm not mad at that at all. All I'm saying is that Carol goes on her trip. How long was her trip? Was her trip a month long? Because he was gone, he was back, but he had enough time to plan for it. But, you know, they'd show Eugene discovering that she's gone. Then they'd show Eugene doing his detective work, and they cut back to Carol, who's still gone on the trip. And then, there's still enough time for what's-his-face to come back and be the fifth shadowy man. So he must have been there in the interim because Eugene saw the fifth shadowy man. Like, it just bothers me time-wise. I'm fine. We pre-cruise through this. Let's get to 6 months as soon as possible. I'm all in favor of that. Let's just go. I just don't know where I am in this episode at any point in time.
That's a good point, especially when you consider that Connie is still doing her newspaper article, right? And it's the Tribune. So is this a weekly article? Is this a month long? Like, how often does this paper get printed?
And she's upset that he's been in jail for how long? How long has he been in the hospital room? Like, I don't know. I don't understand any of this.
Yeah. Is there a printing press? Are we really doing that?
I don't know if they're doing a printing press or if they've got, they must have like an old HP laser printer in the corner that they're still got, they still got running on gumption. I don't know where they're getting toner in the apocalypse.
I'm so confused.
I'm going to give them the whole pass on the fact that it wasn't last week October because it was Halloween and now it's November, but it's rainy and it's kind of, they're jogging and they're not cold at all. Like, I'm willing to give them a pass on all the weather stuff, even though that's also just troubling me in the back of my head. But, like, there's just no consistency with any of the timeline here. And, again, talking about the paper thing, like, her boss clearly knows that she's a mouthpiece Pravda organization.
Yeah, this is the
so
best.
Why hire Connie?
Yeah. What was your job before the zombie apocalypse? Oh, well, see, I used my journalistic skills to break apart power structures from the inside and spill the secrets of everybody in corrupt establishments. Like, oh, we've got a corrupt establishment. We got a job for you.
You son of a bitch, you're hired. Like, what? Yeah, this is so weird. It's like you picked the one investigative journalist to come investigate the very thing that you've been hiding from people, and now y'all are all like mad at Connie for doing the very thing that she put on her resume. Like, she applied with the intention to do this very thing, and yet here y'all are looking at her like, Connie, shut this down. Shut it down now. Like,
that's like,
stop searching for Spider-Man. You know, like, what's happening?
It's like Michael Bluth with the dead dove. I don't know what I expected.
Exactly. This is all shenanigans, but I will say that whatever this version of the show is, I do like it. Procedural drama with zombies distant in the background, I was fine. Like, AJ's right, there's no continuity at all, but people complain about us complaining about the episode. I'm not gonna complain. I like this episode, but there's just some things that they could do that'll make the show a little bit more, you know, I won't say believable because it's a zombie apocalypse, but at least if you're gonna put me in this world, if you're gonna put me in this world, at least make the timeline and stuff make sense, right? I don't want to be trying to figure out those little things. That's easy to fix.
Yeah, it takes you right out of it. And mm-hmm. I think you just described it, Chappelle. Like, all those people out there wondering why we still watch the show if we hate it so much, this week is why we still watch the show, because every so often, you know, it breaks our heart over and over. And then every so often we get entertained and we care and we have legitimate gripes that we can explain and justify. And P.S., that's the whole podcast. That's it. That's the podcast. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look, I loved this episode.
I did too.
I'm leaning into this. I could, you know, I saw three shows that I would watch on a regular basis after the zombie apocalypse. Three different shows, and I would have been fine with either. But like, you want to get Eugene and Princess solving crimes? I am here for that spinoff. If you want, you know, you want to give me the deaf reporter and her sister, and they're going to expose. I'm here for this. I'm even here for the Carol road trip, meeting societies.
Narcos? Like, what?
I'm here for all these shows. I don't know what they're doing on the same screen at the same time, but I don't care. I will listen to a Eugene speech over and over and over again. You know, excuse me, just one more question, sir. just drunk citizen here, just stopping you here. When you said you were a plumber, does that mean that you were replacing the flange? Aha, I caught you, because there is no flange on the toilet. You know, I would have loved that more and more. Give me that every week. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
This raises so many questions for me about the universe that the Commonwealth is in. Like, how do they have ice cream? How do they have heroin? How many common people are they exploiting just so that they can have records? Like, where is this all coming from? Like, where are the plumbing supplies? You have a blacksmith out back making flanges. How is this all coming? How is this all working together? How many hundreds of thousands of common people do you have to exploit just so that you can have that baseline level?
Yeah, they have whole systems set up, like, in a world where we barely have electricity in most communities, and they have a printing press, like, they have ice cream, they have horse-drawn carriages, they have, like you said, plumbers, they have the, like, in Eugene's apartment there were wall sconces. What do you need sconces for in a zombie apocalypse? Like, is home interior design that important in a zombie apocalypse? But these people have figured it out. They got all the stuff that you would want in a regular community, so they have to be exploiting everybody. Mm-hmm. That's why the revolution is happening. It's not because there's, like, this ridiculous caste system that you can't break through, and like, or you get so high up and then they knock you back down and you have nothing. It's because they're just taking and filtering money away from these people at every turn so they can, like, provide ice cream. Like, mm-hmm. is there a damn Bluebell factory or somebody out there like with a damn, like, ice cream maker, like, making ice cream by hand? Who is the guy who's making ice cream by hand in a zombie apocalypse?
Well, he showed up at the front gate and they were like, well, what did you do before the zombie apocalypse? Well, I made ice cream. You're like, oh, good. I need to introduce you to the sugar refiner and the dairy farmer.
Now we are going to have a little bit of delay in the baked goods because our baker, we've discovered, was actually a surgeon. But the bakery will be open soon, we promise. We're exploring all of the neighboring communities. And as soon as we find someone who knows how to make yeast rise, we'll be back in business.
I mean, you could do that pretty easily. You could get like a... You could do like a sourdough starter. I'm not worried about bread in the zombie apocalypse. I'm worried a little bit about flour in the zombie apocalypse. As much as I am worried about like, where are they getting marshmallows? Like, is somebody killing, like, did they kill the horse and keep the gelatin? Because I don't think at Alexandria they knew to do that.
Like, even when it comes to the poppies, did they purposely go out looking for poppies? Or was like someone wandering around one day and said, oh, look, poppies.
Oh, you those know? Grow everywhere. I'm not worried. Like, we had those growing in, like, when I was in Montana during lockdown, there were poppies growing next door, like, in this overgrown abandoned yard. And like, okay, that I can buy. Did you show up at the front gates and are like, well, what did you do? Well, I refined heroin. Oh, good. We got a job for you. You can make opium. Oh, that's about the same thing, I guess. Yeah.
I guess. They're like, how do you make opium? Like, Google it. Well, we don't have that here. Oh, okay, well, ask around.
Maybe you know, they like, do. But maybe they do.
They might. They might have the internet. Somebody typed that newspaper, damn it. And I would like to know how. Like, I want to know who has the typewriter or the printing press. Like, are they mass producing this? Because Eugene wants to be a science fiction writer, and all of a sudden, who is producing the book? Like, if he writes the book, is he just going to be like handing it to people and they're going to be passing it around and rewriting it like the Gutenberg Bible or something like that? Like, who is doing this?
Well, I tell you, we don't know where Noble is, but there is a guy named Barnes who lives down the street. And he promised me that he would take a look.
Like, have you heard of Mr. Penguin? You know, like that guy's going to help. Like, I don't know. This was just like when Eugene said he's writing a book. Like, I thought Eugene was writing a stage play, which for me is more believable, right? Because you can go and take
Eugene O'Neill.
Right. And you can have the community theater. Like, you know, we've seen the kids out here. I thought that's what he was doing. But to write a book, like, sir, is this a personal book? Like, you're just going to read it to yourself? Because there's no way this is going to get distributed at all at any given time ever. Like, we just don't have that kind of technology here. Or maybe they do. Maybe I missed something.
I mean, I keep half expecting Al to show up and start to produce a reality show of some sort for their television station, which will crop up somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she might be there. We don't really know at this point.
This is also true.
That is true.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions that I have. I want to go back to fake Stephanie for a second. Because fake Stephanie implies the existence of real Stephanie. We meet real Stephanie at the end, but Eugene shows up and he's like, I'm looking for Stephanie. And they just like, they're like, okay, get us a Stephanie. Like, they don't know, you know, they don't know who he's actually been talking to, which is wild because they know a lot of other stuff. How did they know to just like have a Stephanie at the ready for him? And how did they manage to fool him for that long when we know to look for it, but the clues are pretty obvious. Like, she hates Iron Maiden. She doesn't like Rocky Road ice cream. Eugene knows everything about this woman. He's got a very good memory. And they were able to bring in someone that just like, she's kind of cute and she has glasses and that's all they need to fool him for however many months this was. And we don't really know how many months that was.
Yeah, that makes no sense. I found this to be the only part of the show that was just confusing to me in terms of what the motivation was. Because even at the end there, I'm like half going, wait, I know she's the real Stephanie, but why is she keeping this a secret? And how did they know? It really doesn't work. And she's so cold to him when he shows up at the plumber place.
Yeah.
And like, you know, she's like, I told you. You know, like, suddenly she's evil, completely, you know. Not even like she didn't even enjoy it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Didn't she kick him? Wasn't that her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't even like, you know, oh, this was an undercover assignment and I actually did fall for you, which might have been interesting, if maybe a bit cliche. But this was just like completely 180. And then, hi. I'm the real Stephanie, but my name's not Stephanie. Or maybe it is. We haven't really determined that yet. We'll let you know next week. And Mercer's my brother. What?
Yeah, and also, if I'm Lance Hornsby, I'm looking for real Stephanie because clearly there is a real Stephanie. Why is he not looking for real Stephanie?
Unless he knows. And if he knows, is she in on it with them? It's just very confusing.
It's super confusing. They wrote themselves into a corner here. And I'm going to go ahead and spoil a comics thing for a second. This is not in the comics. This is not this convoluted mess of catfishing. Like, not at all. Like, it's very straightforward. Eugene shows up and she's like, yo, I'm Stephanie, and happily ever after. But, I mean, not necessarily. Not necessarily happily ever after. But, you know, Stephanie is Stephanie. There is one Stephanie.
And there's a way where, like I said, we've been bracing ourselves for this for the longest time. We knew this. You put in IMDb, fake Stephanie. I'm gonna notice, even if you retract it an hour later. And they're still calling them both Stephanie, which is really confusing. Because I went in to see if I knew the actors from somewhere, and it was like, I had to look, determine, is it Stephanie or is it Stephanie? They don't even call her Max. It's just Stephanie and Stephanie, which is like, ugh. But because you're letting us in on some of it, but not all of it, I don't know whether to believe the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's troubling.
It's like the metagame. Like, you see the Eugene going through this exact thing that we are all going through right now. You see him like, did I make this up? Is this, like, did she ever care for me? Where did she go? Why would she do that? Did someone take her? What is going on? Is this all in my head? And we're all sitting here doing the same thing because we don't know how much of this really happened and how much of it is the show trying to misdirect us. And that can be a really powerful thing, but it can also be one of the things that Walking Dead does frequently that really gets under my skin is it purposely withholds information for the only reason that it doesn't want you to know that information. It doesn't give it to you logically. It doesn't show you a clue in the background. It's just like, oh no, you don't get to know this. And then when it happens, like, oh yeah, by the way, this. And it doesn't have a really good sense of when that information should come out and where it should come out and how it should come out sometimes.
Yeah, it's like we're confused, but it's not the show didn't do it on purpose, right? Yeah, so like exactly. If the show was like, you know, spinning us around, then we're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, what's happening next? We're so confused. Oh my God, we're in the moment. But this is just the show messed up. And now we're trying to put pieces together that just aren't there. Like, they make it seem like this whole Stephanie thing has always been the plan, right? Like, fake Stephanie was to lure Eugene into coming here, into making him, like, let down his guard and tell him everything about the community and all this other stuff. It's like, okay, so Lance Hornsby knew about real Stephanie the whole time? Because if that's the case, then why did we need the decoy Stephanie if the real Stephanie was in on it? If real Stephanie's not in on it, then why is she wandering around, like, free to run into Eugene randomly? Like, you would think you would cover all that stuff up, but they don't. They don't try to piece it together at all. It's like that whiteboard thing that Eugene was doing, you know, with the yarn connected. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me just say this. I never know what that means. I always know when I see that in TV, like that somebody's like figuring something out. I can never follow that. Like, if you ever see me with that, it's just for show. And so like, that's what the show is doing. It's just like this big, like all of this is production for show. It's none of it means anything, you know? Right. And then they give you the one part that matters. And then we're all like, well, what about all the rest of this stuff? Why have we been sitting here this whole time? What did we learn all this stuff for? Why have you been dragging out fake Stephanie for 2 whole years? But, you know, that's where we are now.
Right. Especially because you've set up this situation where, you know, the ruling government, they're probably, we're considering them as the big bad, because that's the way it works in these towns. We go to the town and whoever's in charge and usually ends up being the big bad. But there's this resistance, and I would assume they want us to take the side of the resistance, yet they create this shadowy organization that Lance is running. So are they the big bad and the government actually is good? Is that what, you know, like, I don't know what they're asking us to emotionally buy in on. Obviously, we don't want Eugene to get hurt. That's a given, but they're kind of saying Lance is lying. But is Lance lying? Because he was kind of cool with Carol. So I don't know if that's part of the subterfuge and like Lance is actually the big evil mastermind here, Or is the government truly, in which case they have not done a case to make them other than that they're rich jerks?
Well, I'm just going to go out and say that I don't support it if the goal is to just like invade with your outside forces and then install your own puppet dictator. I'm not for that ever.
No. Yes, I agree. And then we'll put seeds in your pockets, and then Carol can tell you to look at those flowers.
That's right. That is absolutely right. So I don't know that I feel like maybe we're going to get La Resistance going to be like, oh, we want to get rid of Pamela and we want to put Lance there. And then it's going to be like the next twist is like, but don't put Lance there because he's Saul Goodman. And I just, there's not enough pieces here. I need to get to that room where they go and they have the punched pie and they tell us what the resistance is. And I need it fast before I start to just abandon this whole enterprise.
Right. Because you got the Lance group, and I think I don't know. Are they the La Resistance? It doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's another group, but it would make more sense if there was just the bad guys and a resistance and not this third splinter group. And plus, on top of all that, we now have this shadowy scandal-like thing where someone's sliding a bunch of names under the reporter's door. It's like, here's all the clues you need, but I'm really not going to tell you what the names mean. You're going to have to find out for yourself in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you should know who these people are. You've been here a whole month.
Right.
It's weird because for a second, I did think that Lance was, you know, La Resistance. You know, I was watching the whole thing happen, and I was like, okay, look at Lance fighting for the people, you know, and then they got this secret opium thing going on to make sure that the hospital is stocked. I'm like, okay, fine. It's smuggling, but it's for a good cause. I'm thinking this is kind of underhanded, but also, you know, it's supposed to be helping. And then when Lance is a part of the secret Stephanie plot, I'm like, okay, are you still part of the resistance? Because if so, then what has this got to do with anything? Like, how is this going to take down Pamela Milton? And then I start to think, well, maybe he's not, right? Maybe he's a part of the bigger machine, but him and Pamela Milton don't seem to be cool at all. So it's kind of like, so there has to be a third party, right? Is Lance the future fall person for this whole operation? I just don't know. I do know I want him to get like far away from Carol, like just far away. Like, I feel like they were flirting. I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. And I don't know what Carol is doing here. Like, I'm not quite sure what her role has now become in this new community. Do y'all have any thoughts about that?
My thought on this is that, you know, Carol's trying to get in good so that she can, like, get Ezekiel his life-saving surgery. And I worry because I think Lance has figured Carol out. Like, most people, like, Carol tries to put up this front that she's, like, the shy cookie baking junior league woman until it's too late and she has like launched a rocket on your cannibal compound. But Lance seems to look at her and immediately know that this is someone who is much more than that and who can read people and who understands how to get people to do what she wants. And he puts that to work for him immediately. And does this mean someone is finally like out caroling Carol? That's my question.
It's interesting. I mean, certainly we saw in the fact that, you know, she goes and talks to the lieutenants and finds out everything that's going on in this community in the span of, well, I guess it must have taken weeks, right? But, you know, she immediately reports it back to him. It's not like she's even coy about it. She's just like, yeah, while you were off there, I discovered this, 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 and this, and this, and high five, can I get my surgery now? I mean, she knows what she's doing. The question is, will Lance follow through? You know, if this show was going on for several more seasons, I'd say for sure he will follow through because we're not going to let Ezekiel die. But being in the final season, we can let Ezekiel die. I mean, that's fine. She could get betrayed at the last minute and like, you know, stop the surgery, you know.
Look, I want to know why the smugglers don't have any access to Lance. Because here's a moment where they're being like basically exploited and they have, what's his name, Moto? Doing the negotiations negotiations with Lance, and then Carol like secretly darts off and gets the real scoop. I'm like, couldn't y'all have just like, if y'all were just gonna snitch, couldn't y'all have just went to the source and been like, hey Lance, this is what's up? Like, why did Carol have to go undercover or like, you know, like slide in and be like, hey, tell me something? Like, if Moto's gonna retaliate, he's gonna retaliate regardless, right? So it's not like you had to go through Carol to get this message to him. Like, once he showed up, why didn't y'all just walk up and be like, hey, he's stealing money, what's up? You know, like, I don't understand why they needed Carol to play the middleman there. Because you like it'd be different if Carol kind of coerced the information out of them, or we saw Carol being like very savvy, but it was just like Carol's like, no, I talked to a few people and they just let me know what was up. They weren't gonna tell Lance.
She just went and asked them.
Yeah. Like, have you tried talking to the people? Oh no, that's a damn a concept. Like,
well, that's why we brought you here, Carol, because you bring solutions.
Fingers to the pulse of the people.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is that the perception is that Moto and Lance are tight. And they wouldn't want to try to snitch to the best friend of the guy they're trying to snitch on.
So they tell the woman who he rolled in on a horse and carriage with.
Yeah. Hello, complete stranger.
Yeah.
Let me tell you my life story.
Y'all seem cool.
It works out well for everyone.
Right. That's what I was like. I really wish they had made more of a meal out of that. Like what AJ's saying, this could have been weeks. And so had we saw Carol maybe in doing her own investigation, or like, you know, maybe somebody slipped Carol a note being like, nah, this ain't what it seems, you know, or was talking in code to her. But it was literally like Carol looked over and said, that lady looks like she knows something. Let me go ask her. And then that was it. That was
you
it.
Could, yeah, you could have even, if you don't want to stretch this out over many episodes, just like have Carol break into the dude's office and find the evidence that he's selling heroin for money because these things matter in the zombie apocalypse. Just like find his ledger and be like, oh, he's stealing money. And then like take it to Lance and be like, look, he's stealing money. She doesn't even have to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's probably a better thing for Carol to do anyway.
Mm-hmm. And whatever retaliation these people were going to get, they're getting it regardless, because Lance is standing there and he's like, oh yeah, we settled the deal, everything's fine. Talks to Carol for 2 seconds and says, oh yeah, you're under arrest. So it's kind of like, obviously this guy is going to know that somebody snitched. So it's not like going through Carol was like some big smoke screen. Like the guy was standing there.
But Moto's not coming back. Moto's gone. They're dragging him off to the Commonwealth.
He'll he's not getting paroled.
He's never going to be seen again. And, you know, the woman who folded her arms in just the right way so that Carol knew that she was ready to spill her gut is probably the new leader. And, you know, Carol's got an in. So,
what? So hold on. So how crooked are the police in this, right? Because they are arresting this man and under what charges now? Smuggling drugs? Money laundering? Stealing? Tax evasion?
They have a criminal justice system. So
all tax evasion, yeah.
But this is illegal. Like they like Carol's like, are y'all what are y'all doing? Drugs, smuggling? And he's like, yeah, smuggling. It's like, yeah, but it's for a good cause. Like, but it's still not on the level. Like, this is a secret operation. Yeah. Like, how do you arrest somebody for something that you should not even be involved in? Like, what are you gonna say? Like, I saw him. He's got opium. Like, yeah, and now he can rat you out to all the people, right? Like, what is the crime that he's being punished for here?
You're under arrest for stealing the stuff that I already stole.
Uh-huh. For taking money from the people that we were exploiting. How dare you exploit the people?
How dare you take from me what I've rightfully stolen?
I mean, I question the whole police system here in the Commonwealth town. You know, I mean, they don't have cell phones, but yet that woman called the police real quick when she saw Eugene Princess climbing through the window and the police walked in. There they are in the hallway. Okay, yeah. Let's arrest them for what? Being in a hallway?
I saw them climbing the side of this building. Like, okay, ma'am, could you, like, how did you make this phone call? Like, could you explain to us how you called 911, please? Let us know.
Do they have phones?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand. This whole episode seemed to me like they were saying, yeah, it's set in the zombie apocalypse, but everything that happened in today's normal world still exists, because it's just like, yeah, they're writing books and they're printing newspapers. They've got media access. they got police that are summoned within a reasonable amount of time. They've got plumbers. It's like, what?
CRM had phones. The campus colony had phones.
Well, there are some sort of direct lines. I mean, even, you know, Strand in the tower has a direct line phone. But it's
Victor Strand has a phone.
I hate that phone so much.
it still seems a little bit odd to me that
yeah, they have multiple lines
set up.
Yeah, everything is flawless. Like, these people have been living here basically in a more effective society than we have in the real world right now. Like, you know, like, you call the police, they just show up. You go, like, it's like, wow, that was so efficient. Who knew? You know,
911
like,
is not a joke.
Yeah, it's so weird, but I guess it is a parallel to this world too, because it's like, yeah, y'all are in a pandemic. Also, there's concerts happening and sports. Like, it's like,
yeah,
Really? You can't get within 6 feet of somebody, right? But we can all go tackle each other and play basketball with each other and also go to concerts where people are singing. My college has a very popular TV show about their marching band where they're all spewing their hot breaths through these instruments and projecting it across the field at other people. It's like, yeah, in a pandemic? Really? Really? Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm sure that we're all well aware that every time we eat ice cream in this world, we are exploiting 1,000 people. So, I mean, maybe it's just, maybe they're just trying to raise awareness here.
It's a commentary that we needed. Yeah. We also get a lot of commentary from Connie. I'm so obsessed with Connie in this job as a investigative reporter. Like, this is so funny. Because Connie's like, you know, I hate the militarization of police. I'm like, we do know that about Connie. Also, we did not know that about Connie.
You knew literally nothing about Connie until this, like, the last 2 weeks. Like, oh, yeah. Wow. She had a whole rich inner life before the zombie apocalypse.
She's so principled. It's very fun. And I love the moments where Connie is clearly like, she's like said, F it. I'm going to get to the bottom of this or else. And Kelly, her poor interpreter, is just like, could you stop making me say things that are going to get us in trouble? Like every time Connie does her signs, Kelly looks at her like, really? And Connie's like, go on. And then she's like, okay, Mercer. Connie told me to tell you that, like, that we demand to know where this guy is. And Mercer's like, no, she didn't. Like, oh, Connie, Mercer's not going to tell us. And Connie's like, oh, no, you tell him I said this. You know, like, that whole interaction is very funny to me. But also, Connie is the star of the show for me. This Eugene stuff is kind of in the background for me because Connie is just not letting up on this whole resistance investigation.
I do love this. So much of this, if I didn't know that they're following broad strokes of what happened in the actual comic series, I would swear that like one of the writers went home and dug up a script that they had written in college and are like, hey, I didn't feel like coming up with anything new for our characters, so I just like crossed out all the names on this script that I wrote in college and I put some zombies in and I changed the names to the characters on the show. Mm-hmm. Some of it feels like.
And it's just like, it is kind of like you were saying before, Jess, about how like they'll sometimes just reveal things that just because, well, we feel like we want you to know now. It's like, So you figured out it's my sister. I knew you'd figure it out eventually. Did you now?
Did you?
You could have done that so much more elegantly. You just need like two lines of throwaway dialogue. They're at the same party in the previous episode.
Like, unless just trying to keep it a secret. In which case, then he wouldn't tell Connie.
Yeah, why would you tell the investigative reporter something you want to keep secret?
And why weren't we let in on this information? Yeah. You know, like Jess said, they were at the same party. All it would have taken was one, like, moment of them, like, being like, haven't seen you in a while or something like that. We're like, oh, there's a connection between Mercer and real Stephanie. But they're like, it's just sister. He's like, you got me. I'm like, oh. Okay. That's a thing.
You can even do it in a comical way where, like, you know, Prince is like, you know, it's about time we got to meet your family. Like, well, you already actually have met my family.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How funny you say that.
She's right over there. Like, you could get into it.
Yeah, you could have sisters. You could have Princess just be like, damn, you two look related.
Which sounds like something Princess would definitely say.
Totally Princess would say that.
But, like, what does it mean though? Like, why do we care? Like, you know, like, it's like, oh, you have a sister. Okay.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is like, obviously Mercer has some sympathies that lean resistance. And we know that real Stephanie is not what she seems and is clearly like up to something resistance adjacent. So I think the two of them are like under deep cover. And clearly the fact that they're related means they're on the same side, which is not always a given. It's not always been a given on this program.
Yeah, because Merle and Daryl were always on the same side, right? Yeah.
I like to explore that a little bit. What if they're not, right? Like, so Mercer has not really planted his feet on either side, right? But we've seen him. He's definitely a part of the machine, for sure, because of his job. But we haven't got a lot of hints that he's a part of the La Resistance, right? But she did that little like cryptic moment with Tyler. So we know that she has something going on and that she's hiding something. And we know the stuff with Eugene. So we know she's not everything that she's saying that she is, you know, or whatever. But like, what if that is the big drama? Like, on the one hand, you have him on this side working for Pamela Milton and being a part of like, you know, the militarization of the police. And he's the head of that, you know, and then she is the resistance, which is, you know, completely opposed to whatever the police have going on. And then he's also maybe dating Princess. So that, you know, throws another wrench in the whole Mercer storyline. And so maybe that's where our drama is going to come from. He's going to have to pick between family and, you know, the larger government, or even Princess, you know, has to pick a side. Like, you know, well, this is my guy, but my friends are part of the resistance, you know, and his sister's part of the resistance. So that, you know, doesn't make it a hard jump to make, you know, right there. So maybe that's something that'll turn into something eventually.
I'm just here for the whole big double date between Mercer and Princess Eugene and real Stephanie.
Oh, absolutely. Heck yeah.
I'm just here for that episode. And make it a whole episode, please.
Whole episode.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So wait, hold on. So we think real Stephanie is going to like, and Eugene is going to be a thing.
I mean, absolutely. What they had was real, Chappelle.
Was it? It was a bunch of phone calls, and then he fell in love with fake Stephanie. Like, is he like, first of all, Eugene, protect your heart. You can't just go fall in love with every fly-by-night Stephanie that comes to you. Like, I wouldn't trust this Stephanie at all. I don't care what she told me. I'd be like, ma'am, you let me walk around. It's been over a month. Matter of fact, this episode took place in over the span of a month, too. So it's been about 2 months of fake Stephanie walking around seeing Eugene. Like, she knows he exists.
Have you learned nothing from Nick Lachey, obviously? Love is blind.
Fair. Fair, but also no. You watched me walk around with decoy Stephanie this entire time and you didn't say anything. And now here I am on my last leg. I'm crying. I've been kicked by this woman that I thought I loved. I showed her my manuscript. She read my thoughts. Like, and now here you're like, it's me, Stephanie. You've been here this whole time. I watched you. I've seen you around. Why didn't you say anything? No, no. I don't love Eugene as a character, but I definitely don't want Eugene to fall for this. I don't care if it is real. You got to protect yourself.
I kind of feel like real Stephanie didn't think he was really going to show up. Like, how was she going to explain that if she's not supposed to be talking to him on the radio? Mm. How was she going to explain that? Like, this guy shows up and he's looking for her and she's like, oh, hey, it's me, real Stephanie. And then Lance is like, excuse me, you were doing what with who? And then she gets in trouble. And I don't know how she was supposed to explain that to anybody. And why would she even have him show up?
Well, but clearly Lance knows there's a real Stephanie because he had a fake Stephanie step in for the real Stephanie. Right. So somebody told him about real Stephanie.
Oh, I think I got this. I think I figured this out.
Okay.
So the conversation they had that inspired Eugene to go meet her, she's like, okay, we can meet. We're going to go to this place in this isolated spot, and you're going to head here. Somebody must have overheard that, didn't know mm-hmm. who it was that was making the date. And she's like, oh, shit, I can't go and meet him now because they know about it. She sees the stormtroopers waiting. She's like, I can't go meet him. I'm going to have to just let that play. And so Eugene mentions to the stormtroopers, oh, I'm looking for Stephanie. You know Stephanie? And they're like, we don't know a Stephanie. Hey, Lance, you know a Stephanie? He's like, I've got a Stephanie right here. That must have been how it played out. Like they caught on somehow. Like when Eugene showed up, she saw that Eugene was getting busted, didn't go to meet him, and then Eugene gave them enough to play with that they could bring him a Stephanie. Mm. That's what I think they did, but it still doesn't explain why they are not like overturning everything, like leaving no stone unturned, to borrow a phrase from another program I watched this week. Looking for Stephanie. Why aren't they spending more time trying to suss that out?
I think you did a lovely retcon job there, Jess. I think it's worthy of inclusion in a writer's room somewhere. I don't think we're going to get that much of a detailed explanation. I think they're just going to gloss over it. She's going to say, yeah, I just couldn't tell you. And I appreciate you telling me now. We're going to move on.
I don't know how I can ever trust you now.
Is your name even Stephanie?
Well, no. Well. Right. No. No, no, no. Maybe no, Mercy's Eugene, been but
Eugene could.
It up.
No, seriously. Eugene could, because Eugene say, well, I must admit, in my day, I have told a whopper of a lie or two in order
that's
to
good point.
Maintain my life.
People who live in glass houses. Like, he would not be alive right now if he hadn't lied his ass off for the first 2 years of the zombie apocalypse.
Oh, 100%. Oh, there was definitely a part in this episode where I was like, Eugene, where do you get off? Because y'all know, I have never forgiven Eugene for that. Like, I know that there's a cure, and I'm a doctor, and I'm going to tell y'all how to go to... And then, like, halfway through, just like, I can't do it no more. I can't lie to you no more. He's sitting there talking to Princess, like, how do you just make somebody believe it's you, and it's not even them? Like, how do you know? Like, people just, like act like this. Who would do something like that? Like, Eugene, people died because of you. Like, people, like... lies were lost, and you just lost a little love. Like, Eugene, this was your fault. The stuff you did led us to this moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could have left them people alone. You've been lying since the day we met you, and you sitting up here, like, really in here, like, I just don't understand how somebody could be so duplicitous. Really? Eugene, where do you get off? That's what I was like. It took me a very long time in this episode to feel bad for Eugene. But that moment, I was like, all right, cut it out. Shenanigans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But I think Eugene likes to think he has matured a lot since then. Like, those were back in the days when he used to, like, watch people do it. And now he gets to do it.
He did it.
Like, did he, though? Do we know?
This one was deep clothed. Undercover.
They were fully clothed in bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no, but, you know.
It's been a few months. They waiting for marriage. Like, what's going on here?
I can see Eugene being such a proper gentleman that perhaps he didn't actually care, as long as it was just someone who was there with him. Like,
he just wanted to hold hands.
He wants to sleep with someone, but not necessarily sleep with them, you know.
Mm, okay.
I can see that.
I could see,
I cannot. Sir, you've been doing computer love with this lady for years, allegedly. And now you get the chance to, like, consummate this thing. You're like, no, I'll wait until we are married. Under what law? Under what, religion are y'all going to get married at the church? Listen, in a zombie apocalypse, the church don't matter to me. Like, at this point, like, all bets are off. I done seen some things. This is hell. So, like, as far as I'm concerned, I ain't got to wait for that kind of stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like they must be doing something.
There's only two priests in the zombie apocalypse, and we killed one of them two episodes ago, so.
And the other one killed the other one. You know, like, you can't marry me, Gabriel. Like, who do you do? Like,
where do you get off?
Yeah, exactly. By the power invested in me, sir. Like,
the power vested in me by this spiky ball hand.
That's once again, it is time for us to see if love, like me, half of the time is blind.
That's a real shotgun wedding when you, when Gabriel shows up with an actual gun, like Eugene, you gotta get married. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I could also see him being really nervous about it and like getting up in his head about it and being like, I don't think I could do this, and and I think he could last a month like making excuses to not have to perform.
Yes. I could say, look how long it took him to fire off the one bullet.
All right, AJ, you need to leave.
Incredible.
You need to leave.
Incredible. That's a joke that had the setup like that's been waiting 5 years to happen.
Mm.
Much like Eugene and Stephanie.
A long time coming. Ding.
But really, would it be? Okay, gotta stop. Yes. This is a family podcast about a gruesome zombie apocalypse show that comes out at 10 p.m.
That sometimes I'm just
sitting here at the table holding my ice cream in my hand, watching it melt all over the place.
That's a metaphor for something.
Oh my God. All right.
Someone
we're gone.
Make out in the rain.
Skip the plugs. We're out of here.
Oh man. There was a zombie. To be fair, there was one zombie.
Yeah. Well, it was like they went out to like do the like police mission. Connie went on the and Kelly went on the ride along, you know, or whatever, which is so played out. But whatever, they did it. And my issue here is that these stormtroopers, they're wearing this armor, which I assume would protect them from the zombies to some extent. But when they are attacked by zombies, you would think they were out there in shorts and a t-shirt, because this man was terrified for his life. I'm like, you should be fine. I thought that's the point of wearing this battle ready armor that you've been running around with. Like, why are you panicking like this? Like, kill the thing, you know? Like, I was like, why are y'all been doing all the training? It seems like none of this is paying off.
I think that's very it, Chappelle. I think these people don't have any experience outside the walls, really. These characters are supposed to do it. And so they're terrified. Also, you know, I think it's hysterical that these zombies are, these are still not the fast zombies of other shows. These are still pretty much, and yet they seem to like all of a sudden pick up speed and gain on them when they want to just ratchet up the tension. I think for me it was just hysterical. They're about like 15 zombies in shot, and then Mercer comes up and axes the one zombie through the head, and he's already killed the other 15 zombies behind, which I thought was a great character development of Mercer. But it's like wait, where's the blood from this zombie? The zombie just parted perfectly because of CGI, so we could see who was behind him, but no blood or nothing. And it was covered in blood.
It was all over Mercer, but he was wearing orange armor, so you couldn't tell.
But I'm saying that was from the other 14 zombies. Yeah. This zombie didn't splurt at all. It was just like CGI effect. Oh, isn't that cool? No, not really.
I just assumed that some of that was backsplash.
Maybe.
It's like those you know, those police officer things that they wear, like those big like padded suits so that like the dogs can attack them. Mm-hmm. You know those things. Yeah, yeah. Like if a dog is attacking you and you are wearing one of those things, you should not be afraid for your life. Like the goal at this point is to like now evade the dog or get, you know, mm-hmm. run as far as you can with the dog hanging off of you. But you should not be panicking. And I felt like this person in this armor was forgetting the concept of the armor. Like, this is why they keep having y'all trained in these intense situations, because then you get out here in the field and the first zombie that gets close to you, you just like freak out. I'm like, sir, we have seen like children evade death with no armor at all. Like, we've seen people kill zombies with the smallest utensils, and this person just like fell apart. And I don't know why they show us that. Like, are they showing us that the police are incompetent? Like, they're not able to do their job?
I think part of it is so that we can understand how Daryl rises through the ranks so quickly.
That's a good point.
You know, Rosita and Daryl, like, hey, come on, we can handle this. Like, yeah, you're right.
We saw that training exercise where Rosita's just like, okay, I'll kill all the zombies now. And they're like, mm-hmm. no, you're supposed to follow protocol. So I think that's what happened here. These two guys were like, oh, I didn't follow protocol. Oh, man, what am I going to do now? The zombie's here. Can't kill him because I didn't do the protocol. I think that's what's going on here.
Yeah, it's the training thing that they did was the one knife, right? Each of you have one knife in a house full of zombies. Here you are in the field. I'm assuming you have more than a knife, but he's just like, he just crumbled. I was like, oh, come on, man. Like, y'all, if y'all are going to show us this, I need this to be a part of the plot. There needs to be something. So like in Connie's think piece or whatever she wrote about the police, there should be something in there about like, and they don't seem like they're doing too well. You know, like they're more worried about what we got going on here instead of the actual zombies on the outside.
Yeah, they might need to rethink the burden that they're placing on these cops. Like, they're expecting them to do too many things when they should really just be all about the zombies.
Zombies and making sure that old ladies can call on intruders.
Right.
They can report there, too, just in case.
Wow. All right, so I really just wanted to, as soon as we got real Stephanie, I'm like, okay, now we're cooking. Now I want to see what happens next. And I did not watch it yet, but as soon as I get done talking to you guys, you bet I'm going to watch it. So
yeah, I think we've got a lot of momentum that can build off this, because now it's like, okay, you're not keeping secrets from us anymore. So please, let's advance the plot and fill us in. You can keep characters. Yeah. I'm always fine with you keeping characters in the dark, but she's got to confess to Eugene. We've got to see it and put Eugene in you've got a decision to make, which he doesn't always make the right decision. So that's great. Which is going to then lead to Princess, which will lead to Mercer. Like, they've set up a chain. All the dominoes are there. You have to push it over next week.
Yeah. And if they don't do it next week, like, what happens if next week's episode is just like, oh, meanwhile, back at the Hilltop, I'm going to flip the table. We can't do that. You can't keep doing that.
Well, that's the thing. This is the first time I've ever watched the Previously On since we started talking about The Walking Dead again, right? And I watched, I mean, not the Previously On, but the, you know, the coming attractions next or whatever, the next episode, right? And I watch it, and it clicks in my head. At no point during this episode did I ask, what's Maggie doing? It didn't even occur to me. I forgot she existed. And then, boom, they're like, next time on The Walking Dead, boom, Maggie. I was like, God damn it. I want to know what's happening at the Commonwealth. I don't care about what Maggie's got going on. This is finally getting good. If you spend this entire episode with Maggie, I'm going to riot.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where I think 2 years from now, when somebody is binging this on Netflix, this plays out better.
Yeah.
Like they're almost building it for Netflix at that point.
Yeah, I mean... They're so far they've avoided falling into the trap. I'm going to show my age here, but there was a mini series on NBC a million years ago called V, and before they rebooted it with Marina Baccarin, and this was the original one where aliens came down to Earth and they slowly took over society, and it was wildly successful. 6-hour miniseries, everybody was watching it because there were only 3 channels at the time, so you had to watch it. And then they brought back 4 more hours. They had a part 2 and they finished it off. And then they decided to make it a weekly series. And in the weekly series, what ended up happening was you had our heroes, the Resistance, and you had the aliens. And every week it'd be like, well, in order to proceed, we have to get into that house over there and steal those plans. And they'd fight the aliens and they'd get the plans. Oh no, the aliens escaped just in time with the plans. Ah. Next week, we have to go into that building over there and do this. Oh, we were foiled at the last minute. And that became that. And I fear that this show could turn into that for this season, where every week it's like, and this week they have to investigate this portion of the list. And will Connie and Kelly get it? Oh, at the last minute, the guy leaves and they don't get the information. Next week, I don't want the show to fall into that. So I don't mind if they kind of go back over there, even though there's momentum, because to me, the alternative is we don't learn anything. We start circling our wheels and killing time in the Commonwealth until the series ends. So by dragging it out over these every other week, I'm actually okay with it because I know how long we have, even though I'd much rather stay in the Commonwealth.
I don't know. I feel like if I were on the writing staff of The Walking Dead, which clearly we have established that I should never be let anywhere near a writer's room, but I would not try to spin my wheels. Like, I would know what my endpoint is and I would make sure that I'm going like straight there. And I would see it as it's a challenge to make it interesting up until then. And maybe I assume they know that, but they're not meeting it in a lot of cases. They're just sort of, it's sort of like we have this many episodes and this is what we have to fill. They're not thinking about like, how does the overall trajectory go?
Yeah. And speaking of, how many episodes do we have in this second, what, a part of the triad of the final season? Like, do you know how much longer we have with this particular storyline? Because I believe it's only three more.
Only three more. That's insane.
I'm pretty sure I read that it was.
But if it's only three, then that's.
I'm going to look at it right now.
Yeah. I'm speaking out of turn. I'm more asking than saying it. I believe
the difference. It's four. Oh, no, it is three more. Three more. Like... March 27th, we out.
That's a problem for me. That's a problem for me because right now it doesn't look like we're going to resolve anything before that. And that means we're going to have to wait again to pick back up on this storyline that is incomplete. Now, I'm going to hope that I'm wrong and that we are getting a lot of information and then we can leave, you know, in a good part where it's like, okay, it doesn't feel like, it feels like maybe like a cliffhanger, but also that we're not still in the same part we've been in. But we got three episodes left. Yeah. So I really need them to come, like, I need them to come with it in these next couple. Like, this next episode, I think, is going to be crucial.
Yeah, I think we need real Stephanie being like, okay, I'm just going to lay it out here. We're in resistance. Now you're also in the resistance. We're building an army. We're going to war. They better be on their way to war in episode 14.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got the vibe. I was like, there can't be that many more just based on the fact that we got to do this again. And then, like, yeah, when you, I guessed three, but now hearing that it's three, it's really kind of like, oh, man, like, yeah, they got a lot of ground to cover because, like, you know, by the time we come back next time, you know, for the last portion of this, that's the end of this entire show. Like, everything that we've talked about for years has led up to this moment. And so I'm like, y'all, if you're going to stick the landing for this part of The Walking Dead, these next episodes have to matter. And right now, this crime procedural does not feel like it is going to matter at all. So I just want to know if we're going to make this happen or not. Like, just like spoil that for me. Am I going to be happy or not? And it's too early to tell.
Yeah. Are we getting our socialist utopia at the end of this whole thing?
Oh, you know, we're not. We're not allowed to have nice things.
No, I think maybe my biggest gripe about this whole arc is, remember when they would show up at new places and the people in charge were like super weird and like sinister and weird? And these people are not weird. They're just sinister. Like, I don't get the sense that Pamela Milton has a whole closet full of heads in jars, you know?
Yeah.
Fair.
None of these people have ever wielded a barbed wire covered baseball bat. And I can guarantee you none of them have ever eaten human flesh.
Absolutely fair. But I think that's why I think we have this third party here that's kind of the mysterious one who might be doing shady stuff and doing weird stuff on the side, because like these people are just the people who've been in control because they're us. They're the ones who haven't, you know, they really haven't.
Mm.
They're the people who were bad before the apocalypse. And, you know, you look at them now and you go, oh, maybe they're not so bad after. Like, they're certainly not good people, but we were afraid of these people. Like, you know, I think in a way it's kind of uplifting when you look at, oh, these are just people, you know, there's nothing crazy about them. They're just people. We can be people.
I mean, is the message then that you don't have to feel bad about anything you've done as long as you've never murdered anybody with a baseball bat?
No, you've never eaten a person.
Yeah. Did you eat anybody? No? Just a little insider trading? Okay, you're good. You're fine. It's okay.
Heroin? Okay.
That's a good set of questions, Jess.
Yeah, heroin's fine. Just don't, like, rip anybody's throat out with your teeth.
I have a silly question.
Okay.
Are any of the people that we met in this episode going to matter? Now, we watched Eugene's investigation of this whole plot with fake Stephanie. And throughout this episode, we met Mr. Calhoun, as well as Beanie Hat Man and a couple others. Do we get any more Beanie Hat Man? I'm kind of obsessed with Beanie Hat Man as a person and as a character name. I don't ever want to know that man's real name. He will be Beanie Hat Man until the series is over.
I think he gets a death. I think we definitely see him in a crowd getting a gruesome death, but I don't know.
Kill Beanie Hat Man?
Yeah, it's one of the two. Either Beanie Hat Man gets killed and it's an excuse for character development. Like, oh, Beanie Hat Man.
Beanie Hat Man.
Or like if it turns out that Lance's crew are the good guys and you know, we're gonna be singing songs with them. You know, so yummy, so yummy. Sorry, couldn't get that out of my head. Yo Gabba Gabba style. You know, then you know, yeah, don't bite your friends. Don't bite your friends.
In my tummy.
I think in that case, then perhaps he could end up being like part of the resistance. We need to know who these people are in the resistance, and so maybe we get to learn his name at you know, and that they're there for the home stretch fight. Maybe.
Right. I just feel like we did a lot, like with the investigation, like when we have to learn who like Roman Calhoun is and he's a plumber, but he's not a plumber and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, remember this name. It's going to matter. And we made it through this entire recap without ever saying this person's name. And I'm like, are y'all going to keep doing this to me? Right. Because it didn't matter. And I'm like, please tell me something matters. Because Beanie Hat Man, I've now become the unironic like Beanie Hat Man stan. Like,
is he the new Scott?
He is the new Scott. He's the new Elton's jacket. Like, I'm all in on Beanie Hat Man. Yeah, I don't know why, though. Like, I just felt like we spent so much time talking about these people, and now we're like, oh, yeah, moving on. Let's go see what Maggie's talking about. Okay. So hopefully they're part of the resistance so I can root for them.
I think maybe we get a whole episode that's a Beanie Hat Man flashback from the beginning of the apocalypse till now, and we just get that, like, in between the two major action sequences.
We only have like 8 episodes left. We can't keep doing this.
And one of them's going to be Beanie Hat Man because you've just manifested this.
That's true. Well, if it's for Beanie Hat Man, I'll take it. What if we get 2 Beanie Hat Mans? Like Robert Patrick's. Beanie Hat Mans. Beanie's Hat Man.
Beanie's Hat
Man. Speaking of, how many episodes do you think we have left in this series? Because we know we have 3 left in this part, but like, are we down to like the final 8? Hey, what is this?
Do we get another 10? I feel like I heard we got another 10 after this, but I could just be making that up entirely.
Okay. Well, I don't think they've told us yet, but I mean, like, if you really want to put a timeline on this, and I know we have a lot more Walking Dead to talk about, but like, just think of that in the grand scheme of things, like there's essentially like 10 episodes left of this entire show. It's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. We did it, y'all.
Wow. It's been a slog. I can't believe I've been here since like the dawn of Negan.
Which is incredibly a long time ago, but also like 8 seasons into the show at the same time.
Totally. Like I did the recap on The Grove.
Oh my God.
So yeah, I've been at this a while.
I don't know what my first, I'm going to have to go back and look up what my first full episode recap was, because Josh and I did Comic Book Club for all of season 6.
Mm-hmm. Oh, just for all time's sake. Comic Book Song.
We had a request actually from a listener wants to know if we will be bringing back Comic Book Zone as we get into the final stretch. And I don't hate it. I'm just going to have to reread it because it's been a while now. I read the whole thing at a certain point, and then, you know, I've been trying to keep up with the show. So I will get up my, you know, 10-pound comic compendium volume 4 and read the whole thing and get to the end, and then we can do a little Comic Book Zone.
Sounds good.
Absolutely.
If we can even, like, Josh and I can kick you guys off and do it, or you guys can just hang out and get spoiled.
I'd like to be spoiled at this point. Like, what are we waiting on? You know,
yeah,
like I said, about 10 episodes left. We're almost done, y'all. I'm very excited now. Like, they're kind of like, I'm sad because I don't think I'm not optimistic about their chances to make me very happy at the end of this thing. But I am very happy because this has been a long undertaking. Like I talked about earlier, like in the podcast, like, I mean, like imagine the DVD box set, you know, like we're finally at the end of it. I am a big Grey's Anatomy fan, and that show will never end. And so to finally have something that lasts this long and actually ends, it's going to feel refreshing. So I'm in it to win it.
Yeah, let's not discuss Grey's Anatomy or Denny's Ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, spoilers.
Grey's Anatomy, well, spoilers.
We knew he left the show. He became Negan.
Sorry about that, listeners. I'm sorry I keep spoiling Grey's Anatomy. Even though you're episodes and episodes behind, just know that.
Listener straw poll. Do you need us to continue to write up in the show notes everything we spoil in a given episode? Because I think we went some crazy places this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't go check out the short-lived NBC sci-fi miniseries V.
What time?
1983.
Look, one time I went back and looked. I went back and looked, and one time we spoiled the Book of Genesis. So you know what?
We've done some good things.
Yeah, I feel like we're putting a service out in the world. And I want to thank everybody that's tweeting at us and sending in emails, including absolute legend Andrew Yu, who continues to write to us every week. And just know that even if you criticize us, we love that because we will then roast you on the show. But I've been really happy with all the feedback we've been getting. And of course, if you want to send us more of that, you can always tweet at us at Haymaker Hattie, at Chappelle's underscore show, at AJ Mass, and at Post Show Recaps. That's a lot of ats, but all of those will get to us eventually. Well, you can also email us at TWD at postshowrecaps.com. We love that too. And now is the part of the show where we get to find out what everybody else is up to this week. Chappelle, what are you up to this week?
I think this is a busy week for me. Let me think about it. Yeah, okay. This is a busy one. This week on Nothing But Netflix, Rob, myself, and AJ Norris will be talking about Madea's Homecoming. So if you didn't check out last week's episode of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, it was a good time. And so we're going to talk about something equally as spooky, Tyler Perry's acting. And so we're going to check that out this coming week on Nothing But Netflix. So it should be out by now. And then let's see, what else? Puya and I are still talking about Bel-Air on Post Show Recaps, so check that out. We're just about caught up with the actual series, and so after this, the next episode, we should be like in lockstep with Peacock, releasing every episode week by week, so check out that. Subscribe to our Post Show, Bel-Air, a Post Show Recap feed on Apple Podcasts, and leave us some 5-star reviews for that. I also was recently on the Big Brother Canada premiere recap podcast with Rob and Taryn and all those people. And so that was a good time, too. So if you're checking out Big Brother Canada, check that out as well. And then pretty soon I will be on a draft for the upcoming season of Survivor 42. And so that should be released as well this week. And so a lot going on. I think also on Silent Podcast talked about Abbott Elementary. And so if you have not checked out Silent Podcast, they're doing a lot of good stuff there. And so we're on a panel for Abbott Elementary, myself, Jason, and Gia Worthy are all on there talking about that amazing show. And so yeah, follow me on Twitter. And oh yeah, and shout out to Podrick Racer for all the feedback as well. Podrick always hooks us up with a good Absolutely. Thread after the show.
Yeah,
always. And so yeah, follow me, all that good stuff, and keep supporting the podcast.
Great. That is a lot of stuff. It's a full-time job listening to you, Chappelle. AJ Mass, what are you up to this week?
Pass.
No.
So I got my trivia podcast, Beat My Guest, still going strong. Catch new episodes of that. When they drop, I've switched to Mondays. So check them out, Mondays in March. Felonious Pundits, the Criminal Minds rewatch I do with my friend Kentad Svensgaard. We are knee deep in season 3 of the show, and it is going strong. We have a good time. You want to talk about podcasting about a show that you may not agree with the quality level of each and every episode? I got a podcast for you. But no, Kentad and I have a really good time. Critically analyzing and profiling the cases of the BAU. So go and check that out.
Amazing. So for me, this is a busy week for me as well, but it doesn't approach like a busy week for me is like a vacation week for Chappelle. But tonight we are recording our Walking Dead episode 11 podcast. By the time this hits your feed, Brooklyn Zed and I will have talked about the first episode of Killing Eve, which premiered on Sunday night. We were supposed to do that earlier in the week, but on Monday night, Brooklyn Zed said, I'm really kind of fighting a cold. I don't know if I want to do it tonight. I can rally. And I said, no, don't even worry about it because I don't have a cold, but I would rather just lie in bed reading comic books tonight. And I feel like we both need this for ourselves. So we are going to get that on get that to you later in the week, but we're very excited to be doing that. And Zed and Josh and I will be covering Killing Eve all season long. It's good stuff. And then this is also the week where Amazing Race sunsets for season 33. And we are going to be covering the finale over on Rob's podcast. Rob Cisternino, Mike Bloom, and I will be bringing that to you along with exit interviews for all of the final four teams. And I'm very excited to see how that all wraps up. And Mike Bloom and I will also endeavor to bring you an episode of The Tar Pit this weekend. So that's all of my stuff. And I love to hear from each and every one of you about all of that great stuff. We also want to throw in a little plug there for our Patreon program here at Post Show Recaps, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon. And for the low, low price of $5 a month, you get amazing perks, lots and lots of extra podcast feeds in your ears every week. Plus, at the $10 level, you get access to the Patreon Discord. And I think there's some Discord access at every level of sponsorship. But the full Patreon Discord gets you access to a D&D campaign, an ongoing Brant Steel, a casino run by Wario, where you gamble with fake money and the rules change every time you go in it. And all kinds of channels just for meeting people, connecting, and talking about your favorite shows and far beyond. It has been an amazing community, and it is a really great opportunity to get a little bit more involved with our podcast network. And I hang out there whenever I can, which is not as often as I'd like, but I hope that I will see you all in there at some point. So once again, postshowrecaps.com/Patreon gets you to the Patreon info. And so I think that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much, Chappelle and AJ, for what has been a very fun recap of, I think, a very fun episode. The things I loved about it, I loved. The things I hated about it, I also loved. So I think that's not... I can't ask for anything else out of an episode of Walking Dead. We will be here to the bitter end of this program, and we're going to have a great time along the way. Hope you'll be here with us, too. Thanks for listening. See you next week.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.